Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your
Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your elder brother V, and it indeed is a blessing to be in the land of living with another opportunity to live life, get life right, and bless somebody else. I pray that you're being a blessing to somebody else and that you're counting your blessings one by one. Let's go before our Father in prayer. Holy Abba, we thank you for this day. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So be it, amen. Yes, sir. All right. We on track. We're getting it in. Got the wife to do that heart of a Hebrew woman yesterday, and I was able to get some things done last weekend. We're back here with Inspirational Wednesday, a show that's meant to inspire you, encourage you, motivate you to just keep on moving. Just keep pushing, one foot in front of the other. That's all you can do. But take some time, smell the roses, enjoy the fresh air, and to greet somebody with a smile. It's the most important thing. Let's not try to hurry up and just get through this, because before you know it, you've been went through your whole life and wonder what you've done with your life. Enjoy everything that the Most High blesses you with. So we have a good lesson today. We're going to get into a few things. Let's go ahead and bring in Deacon Abiram. Shalom, brother. How are you?
Shalom, Brother D. I'm doing just fine for an early Wednesday morning here. Hump day for most people. But I'm just happy to be awake again. The Most High has let me see another day, and that's, I'm content with that.
That's right. We can't do anything but be content with the blessing of another day. Another day. One more day. Hallelujah.
And we get closer and closer. What we do is we just try and stay in His good graces by keeping these commandments and statutes and laws. We do the best we can. And that means really trying, not just, what they call half-stepping, as they used to say. We want to keep Him. We want to make sure that He looks upon us and smiles and isn't embarrassed of us. Because, we're supposed to be a light out here to the Gentiles and the other nations. If we're out here acting a fool, we're an embarrassment.
Well, we've got a lot of Israel that's embarrassing the hell out of us.
Yeah, this is true.
I'm just gonna keep it real. Got a phone call yesterday about a couple that's going through it because, somebody wants to hurry up and commit adultery so that the spouse, other spouse, will have a reason to leave them.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, that's so skewed and backwards, and to try and get someone else to commit adultery right behind you so that you both feel justified in divorcing. That's a sad state of affairs that we're living in, that we're dealing with these days. And these are so-called believers, people that are believers. And so that's pretty sad where we are and what this world has come to. And everybody's so steeped in lust and will let flesh cost them their eternal soul. A piece of flesh for a piece of a minute, a piece of the day, costs you your eternal soul. And it's a sad, state of affairs.
Yeah, even, this whole, your whole life, even if you get to, 78, it's a short time compared to what the Most High has in store for us if we make the kingdom, if we strive to make the kingdom.
Absolutely. So it's where do your priorities lie? I think we talk about, like at the beginning of the show, I was saying, go ahead and enjoy your life. But some people take that enjoy your life to a whole nother extreme. Because Israel loves to turn
exactly.
up and loves to kick it. And they don't realize that's not enjoying your life. That's abusing your life. And our people are lost and destroyed for lack of knowledge.
This is true.
So our prayers go out to a lot of these families and different people. Something I said at the beginning, and I'll say to you, because I know you recently retired, and we have a lot of people that rush through life and rush through every day just to find themselves retired and wonder where their whole life is gone. And that's why I think it's important to not relegate yourself to just like, I got to get up, go to work, rush through life and hurry up and get through this day because I'm trying to hurry up and get to the weekend. I think we need to bask in the beauty of every day and the grace and blessing of every day and not belabor ourselves with the fact that, I have to work. Everybody has to work. So I think it's important.
Say you don't work, you don't eat.
That's right. That's right. You don't work, you don't eat. But the key point is that's why we do Inspirational Wednesday. We want you to stop for a moment midweek and be grateful for what you have. And we even have a saying around here, be grateful for what you don't have, because the Most High kept it away from you, probably to protect you. He knows what's best for us. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. And so the key is to really bask in the moment and appreciate the blessings and the lessons that everyday life has. And I've heard it said, you know, let me say this before we get into some of the scriptures. Some of the most successful people in life are the people that do what they love. If you are unhappy on your job, work towards doing something that you love to do. If it pays you less, then put yourself in a more comfortable living situation to where you can afford that. But the most successful people in life are those that do what they love to do. Some of you do just have jobs and you don't like being there. You might like some of the money, but after a while, you don't even like the money. You say they're not paying you enough. Well, do what the Most High created you to do, that natural gift he gave you. Some of you are painters, sewers, talkers. Find something that embellishes and embraces who you are as a person so that you love waking up every morning to do something that you can do in your sleep or as soon as you open your eyes. And that's very important key advice so that you don't shorten your life because of stress or you don't regret your life or hate your life. So there's a little bit of advice right there. All right, Brother D.
Good advice.
You ready? What's that?
I said good advice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I want to encourage the people. We do know there's always a lot going on in our world. This is not the current event show. We'll probably get to that on tomorrow. We see President Trump has got his behind in a pickle. He doesn't know what to do, but we'll deal with that later. What I want to do is...
He's got Superman Kanye to help him out.
Right. Yeah, he's got some backup. He might have to send Kanye over there to Saudi Arabia and let him do what he does. But nevertheless, we want to encourage you today. I want to get into some imprecatory prayers. Prayer of David, who was betrayed by his own friend, best friend. I want to break that down. But actually, before I get into that, we'll go into that now. Let's go to Psalm 55. Let's get into Psalm.
Not only his friend, but as we know, he betrayed by his son too. That's a lot.
Exactly. And the key, even to what you're saying, though, those were part of the consequences of David's actions because of his lust. And at the beginning of the show, we're talking about lust that's heavy upon Israel and destroying a lot of couples and families right now. We need to always look at David and what happened. The Most High did forgive him. He did go on to marry Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, but there were consequences that came as a result of his lust. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, my heart really goes out for couples that are using the scriptures to justify something the Most High does not condone, which is divorce. It's really a sad, you know, sad state of affairs that we're really living in. But to take the scriptures to utilize and justify your sins and to promote and promulgate even more sins, that really bothers me and concerns me about Israel. But that's where we are, and that's what we have to learn to pray for. So let's go ahead and look at David. Yeah, go ahead. You want to say something?
No, I said it's definitely true. So we're at Psalms 55?
Psalms 55, imprecatory prayer of David. It's a psalm that's, there's quite a few of these psalms, and it's to actually swear, curse, or blaspheme in the verb as a verb. But in the transient disposition, it's to invoke or bring down evil or a curse, to imprecate disaster, to put a curse on. Imprecatory prayers are not something you can just pray if you're not living right. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, tells us to judge with a righteous judgment. and that we shouldn't be judging people when we're living the same lifestyle, we're in the same kind of way, or we haven't quite conquered that sin ourselves. That's hypocritical. That's hypocrisy to the extreme, to the highest degree. So we find David praying a lot of imprecatory prayers, but this particular one right here, he was in reference to a friend. One of the highlights of this chapter that I want to talk about is that we hear him talking about praying three times a day. And I want to highlight that before we read it, because that's something that we're putting into practice. Get up in the morning,
yes.
You do a quick 1 minute prayer, and then you're done. Well, that's not having a relationship with the Father. There is no relationship that will survive with a 5 minute conversation every day, and that's it. Something's going to go lacking, and somebody's going to feel left out. Well, how do you think the Most High feels, who's a jealous God? He said, I'm a jealous God. So I want you to begin to put into practice praying three times a day and not wait until an adversary comes against you or a problem comes on you, but begin to practice gratitude now towards the Father when praying three times a day. But let's go ahead. Let's read Psalms 55. Are you ready for that? Get those pots and pans.
Yes,
sound like you didn't fell down three times over there. You all right?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O Yah, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because
he
of the
said,
voice
I
of
mourn
enemy,
in the midst of my complaint. That's interesting. He's like, I have a complaint, but I'm mourning. I have a complaint, but I'm mourning. He's getting ready to go into this imprecatory prayer.
Verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Sounds like Jacob today, right?
That sounds like Jacob today. It sounds like what so many of our people go through. It's always the one that's closest to you, that really despises you or looks at you from afar. They hate how you dress. They hate the way you walk. They hate your positivity. They hate your praise. And there's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. People get close to you just to see what you're all about so that they can destroy you, because misery loves company. This is how David handled this. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, where we are? 4? Yeah.
Yes.
My heart is sore. Sorry. My heart is sore pained. I'm losing my spot here. Let's see. The sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me.
I think we should take this into consideration, because he's saying this is an excellent description of how many people feel when depression and oppression comes upon them and thoughts of suicide. It's to this degree. He's painted a wonderful picture, and so eloquently with these words of the disposition a person feels when they're being attacked and they feel all alone and you don't understand why. Okay.
Okay, verse 6. And I said, but then would I fly away and be at rest. And a lot of people think that way, you know, you want to get away.
Right.
7. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Yah, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. You want to say something, Brother B?
No, go ahead. I was just looking at I'm looking at the descriptiveness of how he actually kind of made a transition here. He was in reference to himself saying he'd love to get away and go hide somewhere in the woods and not be bothered with these people. And then he's trying to say, I'd rather pull out of the storm. Even as Israel right now, we're being tempted to move to Ghana. thinking that that's actually going to be a getaway for the United States. Well, the United States then pulled a whammy on us, and they didn't went ahead and talk to the Ghanaian president and asked to set up an army base, and now they're moving over there too. So the United States is setting up an army base, and there's really nowhere you can run, which is what I'm getting at.
No,
there's no to escape. David's going to get into that.
Because Babylon's a system. It's worldwide.
There you go.
So there's nowhere to go. Verse 8 and 9,
we see him talking about destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I've seen violence and strife in the city. And we see that same thing right now here in Babylon, which is why many people want to get away. We're tired of it. We're tired. I know we're tired. But what we have to learn is how to turn our tiredness into this prayer and begin to pray and praise, because we can't run, because these are the afflictions and judgments that are upon our people. It was prophesied. So there is nowhere to flee. Yeah. You can't go to Egypt with Dickie Shepherd. You can't run to South America. You can't try to go from camp to camp with these other camps, IUIC. There's nowhere to run but to the sanctuary of your soul and prayer and worship and praise into the house of the Most High Yah.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. There's only one place to go. Let the Most High put that cover over you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 10. Day and night, they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief. Oh, I read this already, but mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets.
Sounds like America.
For it was not. Yeah, it was exactly like it. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I have hid myself. I would have hid myself from him. But
let me say something right there. Let me say something right there, Deacon Avraham. This is now, but he took a transition. It's transitional. After 11, he made it larger and made it the society and what the city was like and how it was in the streets. And then 12, he went back to making it personal, how a person of the world, of the streets, reproached him. And it was someone that was close to him that had the same spirit of what he described from 8, 9, 10, and 11. And it begins to become personal again in his imprecatory prayer. Go ahead. I just wanted to point that out.
As you read 13, you see just how close it said, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance.
That's a deal with this right
that he, well, yeah, because this is a person that he trusted, he conferred with, someone he thought he could trust.
Yeah, this scripture right here will turn you into John the Baptist, have you hanging out in the wilderness eating locusts and staying the hell away from everybody. he's saying it's somebody who I trusted, who I walked with hand in hand. So I'll say this to the people that are listening. I don't want you to take a scripture like this and become very non-trusting or non-friendly, because he that wants a friend must first show himself friendly. What it does is it teaches you wisdom to be very wise about how you conduct yourself, what you say around people, and what you reveal to those who walk closely with you, because there is a potential. And people have the propensity to turn on you when things go bad. See, when things go bad with couples, they say, listen, we're married, we're one, let's work on this, let's move past it, and let's keep moving forward because we've become one. And when you're not married and it's just a partner or a friend or co-worker, this guy even said, this is my guide, my equal, my guide, my acquaintance, someone who led me, who did me wrong. I think a scripture like this should just teach you how to be, I don't want you to be guarded, because then you're withholding the limits and the ability that you have to bless each other and to expand and receive, because the Most High will bless you with a good friend. David had Jonathan. They were friends to the death. But then he has another friend here who betrays him. So we know in life these things will happen and can happen. It's just that you should read this and know that, okay, what type of person am I dealing with here? And then once you understand who and what dealing with, you don't become so trusting with that particular person. But what you don't do is get a paintbrush and take a broad stroke and label everybody and say, I don't trust none of you, such and such as. No, you don't want to do that.
It's being aware so that the same thing doesn't keep repeating itself.
Right, because, see, it takes time to know somebody, and Scripture said, know them that labor amongst you. So it takes time to get to know people before you let them into your circle. You don't rush things. It's the bottom line. You just can't rush things.
Exactly. Just like you said, it takes time, because I was mentioning to you about the pastor I was talking about, who's, he met a politician up there and saying that the guy's a godly man. And I said, and I told him, I said, you can't know that. I said, you only met him a couple of times. You need to spend time around him, time around his family. You need to be involved with that person to figure out what kind of person he is. Just because you met him, because when people meet you, most people are going to show you, the good side of them, the best they have. They're not going to show you the negative stuff or the things that they do that most people aren't won't like. And so, like I said, you have to spend time with someone to know them.
Right. There's something about the curses upon our people and human nature of people that they wait to see you fall. I had a brother that I was helping out, teaching some things, and then he knew that I went through some little particular incidents and trials, and he said, I see you human like me. I thought you walked on water.
That's why you realize that we're fellow servants in this, and we're all human, and like I said, and also why we don't follow men.
That's right.
Because, you can be like, we're all vulnerable.
We are all vulnerable. We don't follow men. And we shouldn't look to anyone, esteem any man higher than Christ. We do learn from each other, and we have guides, et cetera, but at the same time, somebody else can teach you something if your spirit and heart and mind is open to it. So it's a balance that we have to learn.
There's one man that walked this earth that didn't sin, who was worthy of following, and what they do to him. But they're willing to follow, the average Joe out there on the street. But like I said, the Most High was at, the Master was there, and they didn't want to hear him. Just like today,
right.
we try and tell people about the Master and tell people about what's going on, but they don't always want to hear.
Absolutely. Let's finish this part up.
Okay, verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of Yah in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. 16. As for me, I will call upon Yah, and my Elohim shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and
there
he shall hear my voice. There it is.
There we go. Right there. That was the one that we pointed out. So in the midst of all of this complexity and how he's saying, I feel so, in my spirit, I'm so just distraught. And, people that contemplate suicide. But the first thing you do, you don't grab the bottle. You don't grab the joint. You don't grab the phone book. You grab verse 17. No, verse 16
exactly.
And 17. As for me, I will call on Yah, and he shall save me from these emotions, these overwhelming feelings, these thoughts of suicide, these thoughts of giving up. And then not only will I call upon him, 17, that night when I wake up, and on my lunch break, I'm going to pray and cry loud and knowing that he's going to hear me. This has to be established amongst the people as a practice, not just when we feel distraught. Jeremiah said, That's normally
when we go to him. Only normally when a lot of people go to him when they have problems. I mean, they don't stop to think and say, "Thank you for what you're doing for me, Father God," because you know when you get a blessing, first thing you do, go thank him. You know, don't just think about him when you need him.
Right. Right. So, I'm going to be posting this on Facebook too, that people can start to pray. You know, people put more Facebook posts up than they do pray to the Most High. These people put about 25.
I'm telling you, there's people they live on Facebook. You know,
exactly.
It's one thing after another. And when you did mention that the last time about praying three times, and like I said, I've been trying to do that. You know, because I would pray, but you know, because that was another scripture read. I can't remember what it was that we looked at where that was what they talked about praying three times a day. I mean, and you know, that's something we can do. I mean, if those people following that wicked Islam can, you know, pray a number of times a day, y'all's people should be able to.
And it's very important. Very important. I mean, it's going to make a difference and a change in your life if you do this, so that you won't be overwhelmed with the with 8, 9, and 10, 11, what goes on in our world, our city, our environment, and then the big rest of this chapter, what people do to you and these friends that are looking to set you up. If you pray, he'll give you discernment and show you what people are trying to do, what they're doing and what they're saying, so you'll know before they even do it, because the Most High. And if you're not going to know his voice, if you're not talking to him, if you make more than three posts a day on social media and not praying three times a day, you're a hypocrite. You are a liar. You don't have a relationship with him. You have a relationship with your social media friends who aren't your friends, that don't even know you. So this is ridiculous where we are as a people. We've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, and lied to and led astray. Listen to the three times praying per day goes to verse 18. Go ahead with that one.
Okay. Verse 18. Well, we're at here. Okay. Let's get my old man glasses out again. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me.
Stop right there. We got to pause. After praying three times a day and calling upon Yah in the midst of his being distraught, his conflict, and his derivative feelings, 18 tells you the results of what he did. He delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. All your naysayers, your enemies, your haters, he has come to deliver you with peace. Not coming to the battle all in toe up and clothes tattered and torn. No, I'm going to bring you out in peace. And you're going to sit back and be like, wow, look how Yah brought me out, saved me from what my enemy sought to do. My enemy sought to destroy me. What the devil meant for evil, Yah turned it into good. I've got peace. He delivered me from the battle that was against me. My coworkers were trying to destroy me, get me fired. My ex-boyfriend was trying to destroy my character, who you shouldn't have been laying with anyway. My friend, all this stuff. He will deliver you. But the key was that he said, 16, as for me, I will call upon God. 17, I'm going to do this at night. I'm going to do this in the morning and in the noon. We being outdone by Islam. They pray five times a day. And I can't get y'all to pray three times a day.
Yeah, they're praying to a false god five times
a
day.
To a false god.
Something that man came up with.
That's right. Let's get it. 19. Let's go to 19.
Okay, 19. Yah shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not Yah.
That is deep, right? There. Hold on, brother. Say it. Hold on. That is so deep. Listen to this. He's going to afflict those who I am praying for protection against. Because, listen, he said, they don't change. And people that don't change don't fear Yah. I know a bunch of folks right now at a church that are stuck in their old ways, refuse to change, and refuse to let anybody move them for change. These people that are so staunch and evil don't fear Yah. And the beginning of wisdom is those that fear Yah. So because they have no changes, they don't fear Yah. You want to stay right where you are and read an old newspaper and try to recapture an old move, but you don't want to grow and change and evolve. It's because you don't fear Yah. The fear of Yah necessitates and promulgates change because change is constant. You walk outside the door every day, the grass is growing, the tree is growing, etc. And that is the beauty of holiness and God. But those who don't want nothing to grow and remain stagnant, you don't fear Yah, and you stand in line for a curse.
And part of changing is putting that old man to rest. And that thing,
we're reading
that's
out of Psalms.
That's part of
real
changing.
Quick, we're reading out of Psalms 55, the 55th chapter, and we're at the 19th verse. Yeah, I hear you, Deacon Alvaron. Part of changing is a fear of Yah. Yah does not want you stagnant. Yah don't want you doing what you did yesterday today. Yah is saying, keep moving. You know, that's a song we like, but that's a way of Yah. It's a way of God, is to keep moving, to keep growing. But I may have made certain mistakes yesterday, but I'm going to better myself today and not make those same mistakes. I may have fallen off track yesterday, but today I'm not going to fall off track because I learned from yesterday. If you learn anything, then you progress, forward motion, perpetual change. How dare you misinterpret the scriptures and say he's the same yesterday and forevermore? The problem is yesterday you didn't know him. You thought you knew him, but you should be learning something new about him every day. So you can't say he was the same based upon your knowledge yesterday, today, and forevermore. No, that's you stuck with your limited knowledge because you don't have the capability to expose your mind and take the restraints off your mind. Let's keep it.
Hallelujah.
Going. Yes, sir.
Okay. So we're on 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's better. Hold on a second. What did I do here? Oh, I see. Got off page here. So we're on 20 now. He hath put forth his hands against each. Oh, sure. I was wondering why I couldn't read. I didn't have my glasses down. Against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords.
He's talking about the friend. David's talking about the friend. When he goes into this, he said he had put forth, see, he made a switch, and this is why you got to be able to keep up when you're reading to understand how he'll switch directions and go back from making it personal to talking about a person to talking about the world and there's a paradigm shift. He says he's talking about the person that betrayed him. He has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. So this is what people do. People be at peace with you. Like you can treat somebody so nice and all of a sudden they will flip on you and put their hands on you and don't even know why. But I can tell you why.
Yep.
We wrestle not flesh and blood, but principalities. Satan will come upon them to destroy your peace and take your peace, and they won't even know why they did what they did, but they're hellions.
Exactly.
They're given to be used by Satan.
You've heard the term cold flip, and that's what they'll do. Expecting that. You're not even thinking of that because this is someone that you trust.
Right.
And the next thing you know, I mean, like I said, it's, you know, It's yeah, we've all experienced that before. When you see someone all of a sudden talking to you in the way or saying something in the way, you say, wait a minute, who am I talking to here? You know? So, like I said, it's just, you know, all we can do is just get through it, you know, call it just like David's doing now, call upon the Most High for his help.
Yeah, I want you that are listening, when you look at verse 21, David said that this friend, was, his words were smoother than butter, but war was in their heart. Don't be all given in to somebody that placates you and strokes you and pats you on the back and know how to say the right things. That's the main one after your behind.
Exactly.
Yeah, complimenting you and explaining like, I know what you're going through, but listen, I will be here for you. I've got your back. So call me anytime. And if you need to come here, you can come here. Oh. And they set your butt up as soon as you get off the phone. Guess what's going on? Yeah, trying to come to my house for refuge.
Exactly.
Don't allow yourself to be played for a fool. Word softening oil. His words were actually, they were drawn wards. Verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. So he's teaching you here to not turn to people, but to turn to God. Increase your prayer life, increase your fasting life, and that's when you'll begin to see the victory. You've got to not take the lean on the arm of the flesh. David increased his prayer time and talked to Yah. You don't call your girlfriend. You don't call your partner. You don't do those things. You call the Most High. That's what we're doing. That's the type of life we're living. Y'all got to get this down. See, it's the person that is not given to prayer and studying and reading the scripture will flip on you. As Steve was saying, whole flip. While he's over there flipping pancakes, whatever he's making all that noise over there.
Exactly.
Well, let me say this, Brother D. I'm going to put you on mute for a second. So this is a key point I want to say, that 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. David has given you a promise in this prayer that if you put your burdens on him, he will uphold you when you're going through a storm. People will turn their backs on you. They will do it to learn to turn to him in song, prayer, praise, righteousness. And then he says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Verse 23, but thou, O Yah, shall, listen to how it ends, his imprecatory prayer, but thou, O God, O Yah, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. So not just men who kill and murder will live a shorter life, but deceitful men that causes these problems among the righteous who turn to Yah for revenge, their days will be shortened, which is why you don't have to trip on what somebody's trying to do to you. Because half the times, the majority of the times, the Most High is using that to draw you closer to him. Because he said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, I will not despise, nor will I push away. A lot of times, Yah is trying to bring you back to humility so that he can bless you and sup with you and fellowship with you. See, he's a jealous God. And when he wants time with you, sometimes to get your attention, he has to use those closest, allow those closest to you to break your heart. It could be your children. It could be your mama, your daddy. But what he wants is you on your knees. Now, what I'm asking is, why does it have to come to that? Why don't we put into practice verse 17 in our lives every day off the top? So that he says, I know this person. I'm intimate with them. I have a relationship with them. They talk to me evening and morning and at noon. They pray and they cry out loud. And the Most High will hear your voice because you have made it a practice to make sure you call him three times a day and talk to him. How do you think that would make you feel if your child called you three times a day just to say, hey, I'm just calling you to check on you? Or how do you think your parents would feel if you called them three times a day? Because you know when you don't call them, they'd be like, I was wondering if you still alive on the face of the earth. I ain't heard from you. Oh, you still in the land of the living, huh? You know how they sound. Well, imagine how the Most High sounds when he finally hears from you and he's trying to call you into this practice. We've got to understand that and the importance of that. Deacon Audrey, are you there? You still got something going on?
Yeah, I'm here. As you can hear, my dogs were making noise. I was trying to get them out of the way.
Right.
But there, I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to move. I want to encourage the people by using these imprecatory prayers is how you move into becoming more than a conqueror. It's not because this is Inspirational Wednesday. This is just meant to inspire you, encourage you, and help you keep you going in the midst of this walk. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. That's one for me. Let's go to Romans 8 and 31. Listen to this. Romans, the 8th chapter, is one of my favorite chapters. It says, what then shall we say in response to these things? Now, I don't want that version. That is the wrong version. Give me 1 second because I'm on my computer. The first thing the computer wants to do is take you to the NIV, and we're definitely not doing that. Some of the versions are okay, but definitely not NIV. Romans 8 and 31. What shall we then say to these things? If Yah be for us, who can be against us? He will be for you if you're the one who's praying three times a day, because he said, I'll hear you if you call on me and build this relationship. I'm going to be for you. And nothing can be against you. So when these friends or whatever, your job, your coworkers, your family, nothing can be against you. It won't be successful. No weapon formed against us will prosper, according to Romans 8 and 31. So listen, what shall we then say to these things? If the Most High be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. Let's listen to this closely. He that spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He didn't even spare his son, but deliver him for us. So you know he's willing to give you blessings and deliverance if he gave you his only son. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of the Most High's elect? Earlier in verse chapter 8, it says, whom he foreknew, he predestined. Who he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we then say to this? If he be for us, who can be against us? That's earlier in chapter 8. So it says again, who shall lay anything to the charge of the Most High's elect? They will condemn you and talk about you, call you all kinds of things. But in time, if you patiently wait through prayer and fasting, he will justify you and vindicate you and validate you. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Mashiach, Yeshua, that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even, here's what I want you to envision. This is where Mashiach, Christ, is until he gets ready to come back and get us. He is even at the right hand of Yah, the Most High God. And he's doing what? Making intercessions for us, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. So he's making intercessions for your mistakes. He knows your intentions. He knows your thoughts. He's a discerner of your thoughts, and he's making intercessions. He's like, have mercy on him, Father. Why am I talking about you? Because you are in the knowledge of the truth. And the scripture says that what the Most High has began, he will perform it until the day of Christ. He will perform a good work in you. He saw the end before you got started. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You've got to know that he is for you. If he called you, he will finish what he started if you get out the way and love on him. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Mashiach Christ? What shall separate you? This is serious because you're praying with your eternal soul right now. Folks dropping out of the truth, dropping out of a relationship with Yah for lust, for adultery, for fornication, to get high, to get drunk? For what? What shall separate you? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Shaul's talking about what the apostles were going through and how they were going through persecution for the sake of the church, the people, the converts, and the sheep. And let you know that they were more than conquerors. And we will go through these things, but we are more than conquerors. You've got to understand, know, and believe this. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, and check this out, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yah, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reason he said not death, life, or angels, because men will present themselves as angels. Demons will present themselves as angels. Demons are the principalities. But we know demons are nothing but fallen angels that will come and cause deception and come in the form of a light. It was Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad and other people that said a light came into the room and I was never the same. Come on now. Let's be aware of what we're dealing with and how these things transpire and how they work out. Deacon Abiram, you're back on. Okay, I think he's got those other issues going on. So I just want to encourage your heart this morning and today to be able to understand that. Listen, two things. First of all, incorporate prayer three times a day into your life, evening, morning, and noon. Don't wait for the battle. And secondly, don't let your 911 be your friends, somebody you sojourn with, your mama, your daddy, your husband, or your wife. Let your 911 be falling on your knees, crying out to Yah. Jeremiah said, my soul was in great derision. I didn't know what to do, but it was like fire shut up in my bones. That derision, when it comes, when you're torn and you don't know who to serve, which way to go, what to do, that's when you must increase your prayer life. I still can't get enough of understanding how people can tweet and do Facebook posts 10 times a day, but can't talk to Yah, not even sometimes once a day. And you say you have a relationship with him. You're just going through the motions. Your eternal soul is at stake. We're trying to get to the kingdom, brothers and sisters. You go to the gym, you can walk around that gym all you want, but until you get into the thick of it, do a few sets, different weight machines, maybe four different machines, three sets apiece, 12 reps. You've got to put in the work, and Yah's watching you. And bodily exercise profiteth little compared to prayer and your communications with him. I'm encouraging you to increase your prayer so that you can become an imprecatory prayer like David, who was betrayed by somebody who was his best friend who walked with him. I don't want you to be turned off by that because he had another best friend named Jonathan. And Jonathan didn't do anything wrong to him. So learn discernment, learn who's your friend and who's not your friend and who to walk with, but learn to walk in the spirit and walk with Christ because he's sitting up making intercessions for you. And that's how you're going to be victorious and make it because, listen, the moment you stop doing these things, don't think you're Superman. He said, put no confidence in the flesh. If you cease from doing these things, trust me, and you put confidence in your flesh, chances are you're going to fall and you're going to make a mistake. And we're hoping that that mistake doesn't come when he comes back or that you fall into something to where your mind snaps. And suddenly after that, you're just walking down the street, looking up in the air, talking to the sky and just not here anymore. The devil wants to snatch your mind. There's that one time you can fall and not make it back. There's that one time you can fall and you repent for adultery or fornication, but 6-10 months later, you've got HIV. You've got a venereal disease you can't get rid of, and you're praying for it to go away. No, that's a consequence of what you've done. And then you think back, was it worth it? No, it's never worth it. So let's learn to think in advance, Hebrews, because we don't. We can make it. We have to be serious about what we're doing and have some type of discipline in our lives and be a lot more serious about the life that we're living and that we lead for Yah. You can't say you know Yah, you love Yah, and you live in any kind of way. You will surely be destroyed because you will not embarrass the Most High. He's not going to allow you to do so. All right. I don't know, Deacon Abiram, I don't know if you're still there. But nevertheless, I appreciate you for being on here today. And that was our time to encourage you to make it through the hump day and get through
the week.
I'm
sorry, Brother E.
Oh, no, you're
Brother
okay. E? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was thinking you had me on mute, but I forgot I put it on mute to stop any noise. But, yeah, you know, and another thing that gets us away from the Most High is that pride, you know, and it'll come up on you quick. It's something we always have to watch out for. And you mentioned about these people on Facebook, Twitter, you know, they're doing that 9-10 times a day, but they're not visiting the Most High. Well, you know, that was just like the pastor I was telling you about. He's on Facebook, you know, with all this political stuff he's getting involved with. And, you know, he's spending all his time doing that. And I'm trying to tell him, I said, you know, that, you know, you need to be about your Abba's business. I said, that's all stuff in the world. That's all stuff that, you know, it's not going to mean anything. But these people get wrapped up in all these worldly things, and they forget about the Most High.
That's right. Yes, that's true. So let us be encouraged, brother. I appreciate you for being on here today. I'm going to let you tend to Spot, Fido, and Rover.
Sorry about that.
Just cooking that breakfast. And to my brothers and sisters, Israel out there, hey, keep pushing. Just keep moving. Don't even stop. Don't even stop. I normally play optimistic because I want you to be optimistic, but I'm going to play what we play a lot of, which is keep moving and keep your relationship tight. Yeah. Don't play with Yah. He's been good to you. Don't play with this walk. I'm so ashamed of some brothers in a camp, you know, like I said, and he's promoted. He's in an office, but they're frequenting, you know, strip clubs and partying and hanging out, getting high. That's not being separate from the world. That's playing with Yah. And then we wonder why.
Brother E.
Remedy. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, you mentioned this here earlier about the relationship with Yah. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard people saying, I've got this great relationship with Jesus is what they'll say, but then you look around and they're not spending any time with him at all. But, you know, they've got this great relationship.
All right, well, you with me? For the rest of your day. I'm sorry. You
all right, buddy.
All right,
no,
I will talk with you a little later. And remember, people of Yah, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. The truth is a journey and not a destination. Seeing that it's a journey, I want you to keep moving and start today at noon. Pray tonight. Pray in the morning. Pray, 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 pray. Let Yah know you love him. All praises. Shalom.
Yeah, you know, send him out the Wagwan. Yo, just hold firm, you know. Keep moving. Hold your head up, you know. Hey, yo. Wake up in the morning, say a little things of God. Him bless me, just food in my cupboard. Remembering the days when time well hot, me belly hungry, and me couldn't find no regular job. Feel like me can't move, me trap in a cage. Still searching for the words to put on the page. Still dreaming about the day when me step on the stage. But nothing now come, that's when me better say. You have to keep moving, stand on, stand on. Yeah, I. No matter what's going on, you know I say you have to shut down. Yeah, I. the genocide. Sorry, I'm an abuser, I'm gonna beat her up badly. So, I put the what's in Bradley. I'm hoping we can start in a family. One day, she decides, yeah, I'm thinking no more. She follows, Christ, go down on the floor. That's when she takes the razor, telephone ring. Somebody on the other line, I tell her, say, you have to keep moving. Send on this junk, Miss Jung. Yeah, I say, no matter what's going on, you know, say, you have to shut down. Yeah, I you have to keep moving. Send on, hold on. Yeah, I just another broken artist. So, see, I'm the lonely one. Hey, me say, Timothy in a hard line of work. Him a drive ambulance, him what we since birth. Yo, him get a call from him cell phone. Say there's been an accident, a little youth drive off of the road. When him get to the scene, say it not look good. Him not stop think, but if him really done already good. Now the family want no walk one. And the doctor say, I'm sorry, him not make it, your son is gone. You have to keep moving, stand on, hold on, stand on, yeah. No matter what's going on, you know I say you have to shut down, yeah. Have to keep moving, stand on, hold on, be strong, yeah. I just another truth, I tell you, say that you have to keep moving.